I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem's desire was to bring people to Jesus, to open hearts and become a child of God. Thank you for all your communication to us. A viewer from Florida wrote, "Your program provides the comfort I need to make it through the week as a Christian. I take notes and refer back to them when I need hope or when I become discouraged." Thank you for your comfort to us. You say such hopeful things that I find myself rejoicing even though the Lord knows I deal with sadness. And from Nebraska, I am so inspired by your ministry, which is so clear because Pastor Salem teaches God's word in a simple, non-confusing way. When I listen on Sunday mornings, I am never confused, and I love the letters you share from God's children all over the world. God bless your ministry and team. Today's message, Esther, a Shining Star, is the third in our series on people in the Old Testament. It speaks to how Esther surrendered to God, put Him first, and followed God's will. God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. We're just so happy that we're able to come in your homes today and worship with you. And not just homes, we have people out on tractors that listen. We have people, truckers that are listening. I'd like to kind of hear from some of you folks and tell us where you're at and where you hear us from. Just be nice to know, and maybe I can pass along. So I'll give you the address in just a few minutes so you can get ready and maybe write to us. But we're looking at Psalm 57 today, where the psalmist says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings I will make my refuge. I'll do that until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and shall save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy and your truth. Thank you that it is all sufficient and that your grace is sufficient. And though our sins be great, your grace is greater. And that you'll forgive all of us our sins, write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, and give us a spring in our step as we walk with you through this world. So this is your service, dear Jesus. Just take it and use it as you see fit. And we'll give the praise and the glory all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan's going to sing for us, and you're all going to love this, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." And God bless you, Jan.
What a peace is mine, leaning
Thank you, Jan. And if you have walked with the Lord very long in this world, if you're of any age at all, there's been times you've leaned on those arms, those everlasting arms. There's been times when you just felt like, Lord, I can't go any farther. I can't do any more. And then you'll just lean on Jesus and trust in Jesus, and he helps you and carries you through. Oh, that's wonderful. And those arms, the everlasting, they'll never fail us, take us all the way to heaven. Well, we have some letters, and I love to read these letters. And by the way, we're going to be talking about Esther, so if you want to locate a place in the Bible, it's Esther chapter 4, and Esther, the shining star. And all you ladies ought to be in on this, because, boy, Esther's somebody to brag about. You can be proud of that dear lady. And someday we're going to see her in heaven, talk to her. Now, won't that be something? But our letters today, first of all, we have a letter from Mound City, South Dakota. And this person writes, on one of your recent broadcasts, you mentioned seeing semis going by where you work, and you mentioned hay haulers were your favorite. Yep, that's right. I love to see that hay. I came off of that farm. I'm going, oh, it's beautiful. Well, she writes, this is a trucker's wife. I was hoping you would say cattle haulers, as they are mine. I belong to a family of truck drivers, my dad, my brother, my eldest son. They have hauled it all, I think, cattle, horses, pigs, buffalo, hay, grain, scrap metal, machinery. That's exactly right. I've seen it all go by, every bit of it. Should have mentioned sheep, so we've got to get some sheep in there. The other day, I met a cattle truck on the trailer where the name goes was the word John 3:16. Isn't that beautiful? You know, some of these truck drivers know the Lord. We hear from them all the time. And they love the Lord just like anybody else. And he's got to put it on there with a license. I hope it's instead of the license, but I'm sure he wouldn't do that. And then they say, thank you for all the great work you do. I'm thankful for you and know the Lord has richly blessed you. And so God bless the truck drivers. I have a brother-in-law that's a truck driver, and he's really a good one. And, you know, just for a second or two, I remember the trucks we had in the 1930s. And all they were just old grain trucks, and we put higher panels on it. And then we put some critter in there, and that thing would jump around, could tip you over on a level road. And if you ever got on a soft shoulder, you were gone. That thing was over, and the pig or the horse or whatever it was, he was gone to a sight on two. And we didn't go very fast, wouldn't hurt anybody, because the old trucks wouldn't go very fast. But, oh, they were a menace to society. And now I see these big trucks, oh, they're beautiful. They're just beautiful. Well, let's see. Here's North Branch, Minnesota. We enjoy your message and your music. Our grandchildren watch you too. They like your message because though they are young, they understand what you're teaching. God bless you and your staff. And I tell you that we preach so that the children understand. If you can't understand my preaching, brother, you got problems, really problems. And because the children can read and understand. And sometimes we get letters from these children, and it's just beautiful. And children accept the Lord. I accepted the Lord. I was 10 years old. I have a daughter accepted the Lord. She was 5. She's a grandma now, still living for Jesus. And the day she accepted Jesus, she was 5 years old. So don't come around and tell me, children, if the children can love their Lord, love their parents, they can love Jesus, can't they? And a simple faith. Don't make it so hard. He wants to save us. That's the one thing God wants us. He's not willing that any should perish. Doesn't want anybody to be lost. So don't make it hard. Just call in the name of the Lord and you're saved. Okay, now that was free, that talk, little talk. By the way, I got a note here, new song. And that we have a little booklet called The New Song, a little paper we put out every month. And it's a Bible study. And you can have a little Bible study. And it's free and postpaid. And you get your pencil and paper ready. I'll give the address in just a little minute, But let's look at a couple more letters. Here's Bennington, Nebraska. Your sermons have been a part of my early Sunday morning schedule for many years. It's good to hear sermons from the Bible. I'm sure you have saved many lives for the Lord. You must be getting tired, but I hope you continue your wonderful work as long as you wish. Well, you know, sometimes at the end of the day, I get a little tired, but I'm going to tell you something. I never, ever get tired of preaching. I'm in the 73rd year of preaching. And sometimes people say, wow, I think you could do better than that after 73 years. Well, you should have heard me when I started. I made a lot of progress. But I never get tired of telling the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins, that he was dead and he was buried, and for 3 days he was in the grave, and the third day he was raised from the grave, and he lives forever. And whosoever will call on the name of the Lord can be saved. That's what it's all about, is to have you come to Jesus and be born again. And some people get all upset about being born again. Well, just come to Jesus. Forget that. Just ask Jesus to come into your heart. You'll be born again. You won't even know it. So there. Now here's Cape Canaveral, Florida. It says, unable to go to our church service this morning and found you in skimming the TV channels. What a blessing. Your words were impressive with the message I needed to hear. I believe God brought us together, and I'm very thankful. Your message today was meant for me and has been very uplifting. Well, you know why it was? That's the work of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And so all I have to do is to break the bread of life, to bring the Word of God. Be sure, just get as much scripture in those sermons as you can. And then God takes that Bible and he applies it. The Holy Spirit applies it. And it's a personal thing. And it's a relevant thing as for where you're at now in your particular situation. And that's all over the world. There are no borders with God, with God's Holy Spirit. And wherever the Word of God goes, the Holy Spirit goes with it. Well, here's, I've got USA, no town, no state. And I know where it's from. This lady wrote, and I know where they live and all, but I don't want anybody to know what town it is or what state it is. But I'm going to read it because I want everybody, the whole world, to pray. Now listen, this is what she writes. My dad is 86 years old. I went to his house to visit and pray for him. As I was praying, he pushed me away. His health is going along with his mind. Nothing seems to soften his heart toward Jesus. I just want him to go to heaven. Please pray for his salvation. Now, all of you, will you pray for this gentleman that God will speak to his heart and soften his heart and save his soul, because he's right toward the end and he doesn't have a lot of time left, apparently. And I'm not going to say what town it is, a smaller town, and then people think, it's the United States of America. Could be anywhere in the world, but this one particular. Pray for this man that he come to Jesus. And if I get a letter from that girl and that lady, and I just would bet anything, I'll get a letter saying something happened and somebody talked to Dad and he took Jesus. I just bet that's going to happen. And I'll read that letter when it comes. So you pray, and pray hard. Here's Springfield, Missouri. I believe in the Lord forgiving our sins, but the fight to resist is always there. Sin of the flesh and eyes are a real temptation. Pray for us sinners to resist porn and use God's word to offend and thwart the devil. But thank you again, and keep up the good work in God's love. Well, I want to tell you a little secret, my dear friend. Now, I don't know if this lady or gentleman writing, probably is porn, it's probably some man. But that doesn't matter. Where, as long as you live, you're going to have this battle. You have that old nature, the Adamic nature. The old nature wants to do everything that's wrong and wicked and sinful. When you accept Jesus, you have a new nature. And that new nature is the Holy Spirit dwelling within. And the two fight, the old nature and the new nature. And which one wins? The one that you put the emphasis on, the spiritual. Read the Bible. Go to church where the Bible's preached. Get into a Bible study group and pray and have devotions every day. Feed the new spirit. Because he's going to battle you till the day you die. They ask one old pastor, when he thought he'd be safe from temptation. You know what he said? 3 days after I'm dead. Devil never gives up. And you know something else? The devil even tempted the Son of God, Jesus. And he tempted him in the temple, in the church. So he's going to be after you. And you just stay close to Jesus and he can't hurt you. But you have to stay close to the Lord. And if you fail, you ask the Lord to forgive you. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so he'll forgive you your sins. And you say, well, I've asked him to do that 3 times now. Will he do it another time? My grace is always sufficient, God says. He'll forgive you every time you confess it. And when we fail, we go to Jesus. And I fail too. I fail every day. Ask him to forgive me. Have some thoughts or something like that. And just whatever I'm doing, I'm too old to do much, much, much more than just think a little bit. But I can have my sins just like anybody else. And you ask Jesus to forgive you. Now, the sins are all forgiven when we accept Jesus. But for the sake of fellowship with Jesus, we have to forsake those sins, see. But that doesn't affect our soul. If we've accepted Jesus, we're saved forever. I've got a little booklet, and you can ask for it. Can we lose our salvation? And the answer is no, no way, Jose. Well, I didn't put Jose on there. I didn't know how to spell it. But just say no. But you can write in for that. We set it on a free will offering basis. I'll give you the address in just a minute. Here is Governor, New York. Thank you for continuing to preach the word without a lot of fanfare. Just plain, pure, and to the point. And we know the truth will set us free. Well, we're just everyday people. We're out here in North Central South Dakota. And half of you don't even know where South Dakota is. You think it's down by South Carolina somewhere, something like that. So we're up north. We're almost the Canadian border. Love the Canadians. Love everything but their weather in the winter. Sometimes they send us some pretty tough stuff. But we love them anyway. But we're in South Dakota. We're just everyday people. I'm a farm boy, used to herd sheep and take care of things. I couldn't get fancy if I wanted to. And as far as jumping around and moving around, you could nail my shoes to the floor. I wouldn't know it. I'm just like a tree that's planted, see? But we preach the Bible, the Word of God. That's where it all is. One more letter. Lincoln, Nebraska. I just finished watching your show and I felt compelled to write. I want so very much to say thank you as well as for your ministry. You see, I am also incarcerated, and hearing your heart for people who have had the misfortune of prison touched me. There are so many ladies here with me here who have similar stories. Prison has such a terrible stigma. I'm sure there will be new battles to conquer when I'm released. Your ministry has been a large part of my positive attitude, and I want you to know that. Thank you. Please pray for me and the others upon our releases. Your compassion and understanding serves as an example of God's grace and mercy. Thank you for the reminder. God bless you all. Love in Christ. Well, this dear lady's right. There's going to be a stigma. There's going to be some things to battle. But I want to tell you something. When you get out of prison, you'll have Jesus. You can have him in prison with you. And when you leave that prison, he'll be with you. And he'll help you through every struggle of life. And we all have struggles, whether we've been in prison or not. There'll be something the devil will hit us with. With you, it'll be this coming out of prison. With us, it's another thing. But he fights every one of us. He doesn't give peace to any of the people of God. He fights us, and boy, he is tough at it. But if we resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He's a coward, a dirty coward. And so you just draw close to Jesus. And you say, dear Jesus, I'm loving you. I'm trusting you. And you know what Jesus will do? He'll give you grace in the sight of others. He'll give you grace in the sight of people. Every pastor prays that the people in his congregation, that God will give him grace in their sight. God will do that for you. It's not hopeless. You have a Savior who loves you and who helps you. Well, we'd like to send you some literature, so here's our address. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now, we also have a little, you can get us on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. and we need your help. We have to pay our wages like anybody else. We're not underwritten by any corporation or a denomination or church or anything like that. We are underwritten by the people of God scattered all over the world. And so as you give, we pay our way and we preach the gospel, but we have to have your help. So you pray for us and then ask God, dear Lord, is there something here? Should I be helping these people? And then he'll tell you what you need to do. So we just pray that you'll help us and stand by and pray for us and give as you can. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you give as God lays it on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all of your blessings. Thank you for those who have helped us in this work. Just have your way in all our matters of finances. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from Esther chapter 4, beginning with the 10th verse. And Esther is asked to go and speak to the king. And this is what we read. Again, Esther spake unto Hadash and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is a law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king should hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou should escape in the king's house more than all of the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there be enlargement and deliverance arise unto the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai with this answer, go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. So will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went out his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Esther. Thank you that she stood, even though it might mean death, could have meant death. She still stood tall and true. And she was true to you. And she gives us her, and she's just like a shining star, shining light, calling on women and men and followers of Christ everywhere to be strong and sturdy and faithful and loyal and not turn to the right or to the left, but to walk with you. Dear Lord, we pray for the persecuted church again today. Pray for those in South Africa. We know they are losing their life there, Lord, and we just wish it could end. We wish you would just return and put a stop to end of this, and you're going to do that at your own appointed time. But in the meantime, we pray that they will lean on you, trust you, and we just pray that all of us all over the world will become strengthened in our faith because of the Christians in South Africa. Now bless us in this service, Lord. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank's going to sing a song, Move That Mountain. God bless you, Hank.
When troubles pile up high, like a mountain in the sky, don't just sit around feeling blue. There's no need to cry if on Jesus you rely. Nothing is impossible for you. You can move that mountain, don't wait until tomorrow, start today. You can move that mountain, wherever there's a will, there's a way. When love begins to slide down that rugged mountainside, don't let worries cloud your mind with fear. Hold your head up high and trust in Jesus Christ. All your troubles soon will disappear. You can move that mountain, don't wait until tomorrow, start today. You can move that mountain, wherever there's a will, there's a way. When life is cold and bleak, like a snow-capped mountain peak, don't give up your hopes in despair. Jesus is the way, you can lean on him today. Your troubles all will vanish in the air. And you can move that mountain, don't wait until tomorrow, start today. You can move that mountain, wherever there's a will, there's a way. Wherever there's a will, there's a way. Wherever there's a will, there's a way.
Well, thank you, Hank. And that's what we got to have is determination. And with the Lord's help, we can move the mountains. There's nothing we can't do without God's help. And we're going to study about a woman today, a lady today, who stood tall for the Lord and moved a whole nation, not just a little rinky-dink country, but a huge empire in the right direction. What a great story we have with Esther. We're looking at Esther Day, and really, the story of Esther involves two beautiful women. The first one, whose name was Vashti, and both women were queens, and they were queens to the same king. Both women were not only beautiful to behold, but they were beautiful within. That was the true beauty comes out of the beauty of the soul, the beauty of the heart. And so the story opens with a riotous banquet. It's probably the worst, the most riotous banquet that's ever been given in history. It could have been the worst drunken gathering ever gathered together. For one thing, it lasted for 180 days. That's 6 months of drinking. That was an orgy that lasted for 6 months. It was a drunken celebration given by Ahasuerus, king of Persia, also known as Xerxes and ruler of the world. The king's far-flung domain was composed of 127 provinces. Each province had its own nobles and officials, and so they brought them all together, and along with military personnel, and they put on this banquet. And he tries to impress them. And now they've been going for 173 days, and there are 7 days left. And he wants to do something really that, after all of this drinking and partying and carrying on, he wants to do something just a spectacular difference. And so this is what he did. He said what he's going to do is He's going to have the queen. And this comes from a man who comes from a drunken mind, or he never would have done it. He's going to have this queen, the most beautiful woman in the empire, probably the most beautiful woman on earth as far as we can tell. The woman that delights, he's going to have this beautiful woman come in, and he's going to have her stand before this drunken mess, this drunken orgy, this huge crowd of people. And he's going to bring in Queen Vashti, and he's going to have her dance. And he's going to have her dance. It says, well, here it is. The king commanded to bring Queen Vashti before the king with his royal crown in order to display her beauty of the people and the princess, for she was beautiful. The word crown in Hebrew can be translated turban. And what this desperate, evil king is doing, he's asking this beautiful woman to come and dance with only a turban, with only a scarf. And is not only a drunken man could do that. He was not only drunk, but he was evil and he was degraded. It's interesting to notice that the writer's account states very plainly that he made this order when he was merry with wine, as the King James has it. New International says, in high spirits from wine. He was drunk. He was a drunken pup. And he sends this message to Vashti. And you know what she did? She refused to come. God bless her. Could better life. We don't know what happened to her. But she was off of the throne in a minute. She was done. And she was banished. And we don't know. She said no. She would not dance. God bless her. Vashti is going to live in history, as not because of her beauty, but she's going to live because of her stand for that which was right. God bless her. Vashti. Now the king banishes her. And as I say, we don't know if she was killed or not what, but she's never seen or heard of since. So now the king needs another queen, and he goes to search in the entire empire, and he wants her with a fine-tooth comb, and he wants to see the most beautiful woman in all of the empire. And they look, and they look, and they look, and they come up with a girl, with a beautiful girl, and her name is Esther. Now, who is this Esther, now queen with this king? Well, Esther, first of all, was a Jewess. But no one knew that in the court. They didn't know that. She was a Jewess. And her name in Hebrew means Hadasha, which means myrtle. Her Persian name was Esther, which means a star. And my, is she a star. She's a star because she was a beautiful, beautiful in physically, but she had a beautiful soul. She had a beautiful life. And she stood for that which was right. And so Esther, is an orphan girl. And she's been adopted by her cousin. And his name is Mordecai. Mordecai had a post of some sort in the palace. We don't know just how what it was, but we know that he's one of them that brought this girl, this beautiful lady, and brought her to see her so that she could sing and she could dance, she could be the king's queen. And he had some part in it, so he had some office in the government. And there was another man there, and his name was Haman. And Haman was an evil, he was a proud, evil man. And he was made to rule, and so that he could walk as a second to the king and with the king. And everybody would bow down to him. And Haman just, loved that. He'd walk and all the people would bow down to him. He was proud as a peacock. And there was one who did not do it because his name was Mordecai. And Mordecai knew that this man was an evil man. Mordecai knows that he's wrong. And he's just not as evil as he can be. And he's not going to bow to him. And so he will not go bow to Haman. Haman is insulted. And he goes to the king, goes to Ahasuerus. and he tells him all the problems that in the kingdom. He says, all of these problems in the kingdom that you're having are caused by the Jews. And if you kill the Jews, you'll get rid of all your problems. And what he's going to do, he wants to kill Mordecai. He doesn't know Esther's a Jew, but he knows Mordecai is a Jew. And this is how evil he is. He wants all the Jews in all of that huge, huge empire to be killed so that one man, Mordecai, will be killed. Can you imagine it? The wickedness of his heart? So the king listens to him. It's a monstrous lie. But the writer to the book tells us that the king stamped the edict with his signet ring. And every Jew in every province of the empire will now be put to death. Every Jew put to death. So the word is taken to Mordecai. And this is going to be sent out. And Mordecai then calls in Queen Esther. And she tells her of the evil plot that Haman is trying to do. Annihilate all the people of Israel, the Jews. And he besought her to go to the king and plead for the life of her people, the Jewish people. But there is a twofold problem. First of all, no one knows that Esther is a Jewess. It's been kept a secret from the court. And secondly, there's another problem that's bigger yet. And that is no one dares go into the presence of the king unless he's been bidden to come. And if somebody comes into the king in there without being beckoned by the king, he will be put to death. The law was he will put them to death. The reason being assassins. Assassins could come in and try to kill the king. So anybody coming in, man or woman, it didn't make any difference. Unless the king would raise his scepter, then it was all right. But when they stepped through that door, if he didn't raise that scepter, they were dead on the spot. Esther knows that. And so Esther reminds Mordecai, who, by the way, was her foster father and her cousin, the same thing. And she told him about this law and this custom. And she's afraid to walk into the king's throne room because without being bidden by the king. And so then Mordecai answered the queen with the same great sayings of the Bible. This is what Mordecai says. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Mordecai is saying, it may be just this very thing that God brought you into existence. That may be the reason you're the queen. That may be the reason that God picked you, that God had him pick you of all the people, is so that you could be there to help your people and save your people from being killed. All, every Jew killed. There's challenging words that he gives to Esther. It is though God, as if God's will was for her to go unannounced and uncalled for and walk right into the king and present this case. Yes, if that's God's will, she'll do it. So Esther says, yes, I'll do it. If it's that important, I'll do it. But she says, first of all, I want you to have all the people pray for 3 days and three nights. I want them to pray and to fast and to pray and before I go in. And she says, she sends a reply to Mordecai. He says, now after that time, she says, so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And this is what she says. If I perish, I perish. Makes you want to cry, doesn't it? This beautiful woman, this beautiful lady, she is saying, I know what the law is. If I cross that threshold, open that door, and if he doesn't raise that throne, he doesn't raise that beckon me in, they're going to kill me on the spot because they're not looking at anything but the scepter. And if I perish, I perish. So she goes, and now she's going to enter the room. And as she enters the room, the throne room, she comes to talk in the ith, and the king extended the royal scepter. There was a sign of royal favor. It means that she could come and make her request and talk to the king. And this is what she said to the king. O king, if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. And the king was absolutely dumbfounded. His mouth stops open. He's amazed to hear such a thing. Evidently, he had signed the decree in his drunkenness. And in his drunkenness had made this. And so the king exclaims, he's angry now. And in Esther 7, verse 5, the king exclaims, who is he and where is he who would presume in his heart to do so? And then Esther, the beautiful queen of the empire, declares the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. And when the king heard that, he had him hung and destroyed. So it was that a beautiful queen, Queen Esther, showed courage. Courage, though it jeopardized her life. It could have been the end of her life in a moment's time. She was willing to do that because she had courage, because she had conviction. It might lead to her annihilation, but it didn't make a bit of difference. The woman of great beauty has something more than beauty. She had character. And inside, she's a beautiful woman. And she's standing there as a thrilling story. Though it cost me my life, I'll do what's right. That's the story of Esther. Now, what does it leave us? What does it tell us? Well, it tells us, first of all, look at the horrible things that liquor can do, that drinking can do, that drunkenness can do. In this story, a beautiful woman, Vashti, was banished from her position as queen of the empire because a drunken man is impossible to, made an impossible demand. And the whole race is going to be exterminated because a drunken man makes an edict that he doesn't understand and know what he's doing. Christians ought to steer clear of this vice. Christians ought to abstain from it altogether, and that is total abstinence. We ought to keep ourselves from falling into that thing. And I want to warn the young people today that not only the liquor and the tobacco, but all of these drugs, don't touch them. Don't experiment with them. Never taste them. Have no part of them, because it's a slippery old slope that'll take you to the pit and will damn your soul and your body. Oh, my friends, maybe you can drink socially and never get addicted, but maybe your little son watching you won't be able to do that, and he'll be caught up in that liquor, and he'll lose his life because of the way you lived. Take the godly Esther for example, not drunken Asherah. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. Do practice and deal with in total abstinence. And then second, don't ever rule God out. When you read this intriguing story, you cannot help but see the hand of God. You see the providence of God. You're not only with individuals, but it's God's hand is in all the nations of the world. There isn't a nation beyond his hand and his power and his sway. The word providence is derived from the Latin word providio, and it means pro before and video to see. It means that the great God of the universe can see the events before they ever happen, before they ever take place. He knows them. He sees them. God is never surprised. God is never nonplussed and sees something that happens. And you hear them, Adam and Eve sinned. Then says, oh, God says, now what are we going to do? They sinned and they can't be in the garden anymore. There, God is never taken by surprise. He knows everything, so this wonderful God knows all things. He sees all things. He's working everything out in his plan and his purpose. And though he is invisible, he is there, and he is in control of all these things of life. And we see the world today. We see the persecuted church, and we say, oh, my God, why is this happening? Why don't you rescue these people? That's what they said when they were slaves in Egypt. And they were under those taskmasters, and they were beating them half to death, the people of God. That was the Jewish nation, and they were mistreated. Where is God? Well, God was there, and God says, I hear your cries, but for there's a reason for all of these things. And when the time came, he delivered them and took them out. Oh, you see this God and this wonderful God in this book. Sometimes people pick it and they say that, you know, this in the book of Esther, God's name isn't used. But when you read it, you'll see the power of God. You'll see that the fact of God is there. You'll see the wisdom of God is there. You'll see the perfect timing of God is there. Even an atheist ought not help but see that God is in this book, that God is at work in this story. You see God standing in the shadows all the time. And so this wonderful providence of God, maybe you're going through some hard times now. And I think of the persecuted church. Well, just those things we need to give us faith and confidence and trust and joy, because his hand is the helm of all things. We are not left here to the whim of some chance or life as it moves along, or the roll of the dice, or however the cards may fall. We are here with a God's hand is upon us, and he has a purpose and a reason, and he's working it to his glory and to the salvation of souls. Trust God. Put it in his hand. Don't ever leave God out of the picture, because he is there. And then it tells us God has a plan for your life. That was the thing that moved Esther to greatness, when Esther realized that God had a plan for her very life, that she began to act and history was changed. Esther, when she realized that she was the key, she had to go to the king. She had to act. It was on her shoulders. When she saw that God had a plan for her life, she moved and stood for God. Esther was enjoying her place as a queen of the empire. She was living in luxury. She had everybody at her beck and call. She was worshipped, almost worshipped, because she was beautiful and she was courageous. And everyone loved her, because we're told in Esther 2, verse 15, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. She was the favorite of the king, no small matter. So, but Mordecai reminded her, you have this position, you have the luxury, you have it all, but you're called not to that, but for such a time as this. There's a time in history, Esther. There's a time where you're needed. There's a time when you need to stand. There's a time you may need to die, but that's your calling. And Esther, true to God and true to her convictions and true to her character, stepped up and said, I'll do it, and if I perish, I perish. God bless her. And when I was working on this sermon and thinking about this sermon, I think about the persecuted church, and I see those men. They lead them out, they bow their heads, and they cut their heads off. And they are saying, there's nothing but God. There's only one God, Jehovah God. In Arabic, they are saying that Jesus Christ is their king. They are saying in so many words, I'll never bow to anything else, and if I perish, I perish. And they perished. And God Almighty knows how many perished. And that calls for us to be strong and to stand up for the Lord. And he made Esther strong and helped her to be brave and helped her to face this, the hardness of life. And she says, and then she thinks about it. And she says, oh, if I go in there and he doesn't raise that scepter, I'll be struck down dead before I take another breath. But she says, I'll go unto the king. I'll go to the king. And if I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. That fact tells us that God has a purpose in our life, every one of us, a detailed, beautiful plan. And I don't care who you are. You don't have to be the queen or the great king. You can be a pauper. You can be as poor as a church mouse. You can be an unknown. Most of us are unknown. But we have a plan. God has a plan for you. It tells us that life is a serious thing. Life is an earnest thing. Don't live it as though it's a useless, meaning, futile thing and say, why was I ever born? You were born for a purpose. God has a plan. And so, oh, my dear friends, if you feel useless in life, you feel maybe right now you think, well, what God for me? I'm a shut-in. I'm in advanced years. I'm bedridden. I'm a nobody. I'm a street person. I don't have anything. What good am I? God, Jesus Christ, died for you. He shed his blood for you. He wants you to put your faith in him. He loves you. and he has a purpose for your life. You say, I find that hard to believe. Maybe you do. But the scriptures teach that God has a plan for every one of us. As long as you take a breath, you are of value to God. As long as you live, God has a purpose for your life. You're of great value. You are important, and don't forget that, dear friends. And when your work is done, he'll take you home, but he won't take you home until your work is done. Esther lived on a mundane level. That is that she didn't have any work to do. She could just lounge around or sit around. But all of a sudden she sees God has a plan for me. It's to save a nation. And so wherever you are, God has a plan for you. You say, I don't see much in my life. Well, you just love Jesus and you live for Jesus. And you'll be touching lives that you don't even know. And you'll be doing a purpose. You'll be becoming something that you don't even realize. Then you see, man, we give our life to the Lord and honor him and glorify him. We move toward immortality and we receive Jesus Christ. That's got to be the first step. You have to have the Lord Jesus. You may be just one like Esther, but look at what one person did. Esther saved the entire nation because she gave herself to God and gave herself to Christ. I was reading about that just the other day. Never underestimate the importance of one person, your life. For instance, 1776, one vote gave America the English language instead of the German language. In 1845, one vote brought Texas into the Union. In 1868, one vote saved President Andrew Johnson from impeachment. In 1876, one vote gave Rutherford B. Hayes the U.S. presidency. And in 1923, one vote gave Adolf Hitler a control of the Nazi Party. You are important. You are important because Esther is telling us, men and women, boys and girls, young people, stand up for the right, even though it may cost your life. Stand up for the right, even they may make fun of you. Stand up for Jesus Christ and let people know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Let your classmates know that. Let your business associates know that. Let everybody you run into and deal with know that Jesus Christ is the center of your life and you're standing for him. And it doesn't matter what happens, you're not going to be moved. And by the grace of God, you and I can do it. God needs you, but the first thing you have to do, you have to become his child. He can't use you that plain. He can't use you till you accept him, and you accept him by just saying, Dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, take away my sin, and I'll follow you, Lord, as best I can, and I thank you for saving me, dear Jesus, and then you write to us, and we'll send you some literature. And you go to a church where they preach the Bible, or you get with some friends and you read the Bible together and you talk about it and just have devotions every day. Pray and pray, pray and have prayer and read your Bible every day. Don't let a day go by. You eat every day physically, so pray every day and eat the Word of God every day. And if you've accepted the Lord, if you made that prayer, and you can come to Jesus, we'd be glad to send you some literature. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to send us a gift on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. And above all things, if you want to help start in the Christian life, you'll be sure to write to us. We'll write to you. And to those of you who are on beds of sickness, we think of you all the time. And to the persecuted church, we think about you and pray for you. And we just thank you that God is on the throne. He's going to have the last word. So you write to us. There it is. And those of you on shortwave, it's box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Esther. She's in the kingdom now. She's at the throne of God. Oh, won't it be great to see her? And what an example she set for us. And we'll follow after and we'll do that. Dear Lord, I just pray that people all over the world will be opening their hearts to you right now. And to those who are on the beds of sickness, and those in wheelchairs, and those who are shut-ins, and those who are aged and they don't see any future for them at all, help them to know that they are here for a purpose. You are leaving them here because you have a need for them, and help them to pray and to witness and to rejoice in you. And then some bright sunny day, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall be raised first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And St. Paul said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen. So we're glad we could be with you today. Thank you for opening your doors for us, taking us in. And I hope you'll pray for the Christian Worship Hour. We're so anxious to bring people to Jesus and save them a Christless eternity and give them a reason for living. Pray for the Christian Worship Hour. Support us if you can, but most of all, pray. And if you pray, the rest will all take place. And then tell your friends, because you know our attendance could double overnight if every one of you told some one person. And we get letters all the time. Somebody told them. They tuned in, and they got blessed. So God bless you. We'll be thinking about you, praying for you. And next week, Lord willing, we'll be back with the Christian Worship Hour.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.